Peros Ha'ilan, Peros Ha'aretz. So this sugya started off with the Gemara and Brachos, our Mishnah, which says that for foods that you have to make a ha'etz on, right? For example, an apple. The Mishnah says that if you make a ha'adama, you're yotze. The Gemara points out that this is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Gemara links this to a machlokes in the Mishnayos and Bikurim, right? And the Gemara says that this is following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the main source, Iker Peros Ha'ilan Arahi, I think that's the phrase in the Gemara, the main source for all Peros is the Aretz. Right, so just a little bit of background of how the Gemara links this to Bikurim. So we know that by Bikurim, right, you bring the first fruits from the Shivas Haminim, and you have to say, as part of like you're thanking Hashem, you have to say the Pasuk, you have to say the following phrase, Min ha'adama asher natatali, right, asher nasatali. You have to say from the ground that Hashem gave you. Right, so the Mishnah has a question. What if Yavish Hamayan v'niktzat ha'ilan? Right, let's say your tree is now not connected to the ground anymore. Is it still appropriate to say Min ha'adama asher nasatali? Right, so Rabbi Yehuda paskins that yes, maybe v'kore, it is still appropriate to say Min ha'adama asher nasatali, because we know that the tree originally comes from the ground, right? But the Chachamim argue and they say no. Right, really, it's not appropriate to say that phrase anymore. So the Gemara links that to our Mishnah. The Gemara says that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, is following Rabbi Yehuda from Bikurim, right? That the tree follows the ground, right? It's part of the ground. So therefore, if something was supposed to be Ha'etz, but you made Ha'adama, it's good enough. Tosfos says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Presumably, he also means to say that the halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda by Bikurim. Right, but the Rambam, interestingly, so he has, there's a couple of different Gersos, but first of all, we know that the Rambam in Bikurim paskins like the Chachamim, right? The Chachamim who say, mevi ve'eno kore. So what does that imply? That implies that Peros Ha'ilan, right, are not really from the Aretz, right? And therefore, it wouldn't be appropriate to say Ha'adama on something that requires a Ha'etz. However, in our Gersa of the Rambam, right, he says by brachos, he says that you can say a ha'adama on something that required a ha'etz, and there's no problem with that. Right, so that's a stira in the Rambam. Right, so according to the other girsa that exists in the Rambam, that the Rambam also holds by brachos that a borei pri ha'adama would not work for an apple for something that requires a ha'etz. That's very consistent. That makes sense because he also paskins like the chachamim in Bikurim. But according to this girsa that we have, right, so how can the Rambam say, on the one hand, that brachos, you make hadama, right, your yotze, for a food that was supposed to be ha'etz, but on the other hand, he also says, maybe the eno kore, right, according to the chachamim, right, paskins like the chachamim. So the Kesef Mishnah comes in, he quotes a Yerushalmi, brings a Yerushalmi, which says that even the chachamim who said, maybe the eno kore, they still can say that you're yotze with a hadama. By brachos. How exactly they do that? How do they explain that? I don't really know. I don't think we covered that. But that's what the Yerushalmi says, is that it's not necessarily a contradiction for the Chachamim to say mevi ve'eno kore and still say that you're yotze ha'adama, even though you were supposed to make a ha'etz. So that was the Kesef Mishnah's resolution. We then discussed a little bit in the Gemara. The Gemara has a halacha about what foods you're supposed to make a ha'etz on. So the Gemara lays out a klal. The klal is that if you have a fruit or a plant, right, that when you take off the fruits from the plant, so the Gemara says, if the gavza remains intact and it continues to produce fruits, like the next year or some, later date, right, then it's considered peros ha'ilan. But if, when you take the fruits, the gavza dies, the gavza no longer exists, so then it's not going to be ha'etz, the food is going to be a hadama. Right, so the question is, what exactly is a gavza? Is it the roots or the branches? Right. We know there are many foods, many vegetables, that if you pick them, right, you pick the fruits off, so the branches die right away, but the shrushim, the roots, still stay intact. Right. So if you say that a gavza is the branches, so then those foods would be a ha'adama. Right. But if you say that the gavza is the roots, right, so the roots are still there, and they're still going to be producing fruit next year, they're going to grow back. So therefore, it would still be a ha'etz, according to that opinion. So this is a machlokas between the Ri and the Gaonim. This is all quoted in the Torah. The Ri basically, essentially says that The gavza means the roots, right? Therefore, for a food like a banana, the Ri would say that you make a ha'etz because the roots are still there. Even though the branches die, the roots are still going to be there, so you would make a ha'etz. The Gaonim say that the gavza is the branches. So therefore, since by like a banana, for example, the branches die when you pick off the banana. I think that's true by a banana. So the branches die, but the roots still stay. But that's not going to be enough, and therefore you would make a hadama. So that's like one nafkamina between the Ri and the Gaonim. We then looked at some other criteria for something to be halachically called peros ha'ilan. So one thing that was quoted by the Magen Avraham was that the plant has to be three tefachim above the ground. This was a bit of a pella for us because this doesn't really have any makor throughout Shas. This halacha that it has to be three tefachim above the ground. Lamaisa, we are like choshesh for this. So if you know for sure that something was below three tefachim, then you make a hadam on it. But if you're misupak, so Rav Moshe says, you could make a ha'etz because, right, that's the ikr psak, and this really doesn't even have a ikr from the Gemara itself. We then saw another criteria that might make something not be called peros ha'ilan, and this was the Radvaz, who was dealing with the problem of eggplants. He was dealing with the question of whether eggplants are going to be chayv in orla or not. So Radvaz says that eggplants are not going to be considered peros ha'ilan, they're not going to be chayv in orla, because they grow right away. He says for something to be a fruit, it needs to take time for it to grow. It can't grow right away. That's more of like a vegetable type of thing, I guess, right? A pre-hadama type of thing. So for eggplants, which start to grow right away, you would make a hadama, and they wouldn't be chayav in orla, right? They're not peros ha'ilan. The Chazon Ish argues on this. He says, we've never seen this svara anywhere in Shas. This is something that the Radvaz kind of just made up, me'atzmo, right? But the Chazon Ish says that it's still, eggplants would still not be considered peros ha'ilan. You would still make a hadam on it because they don't last for 3 to 4 years. Eggplants die, I guess, in a year or two, and therefore, right, if you would say that they're peros ha'ilan and they're chayav in orla, so then it would come out that eggplants would never be mutter to eat, right, ever, because they're always going to be chayav in orla. They're never going to make it past that stage. You know, they're not going to be alive past the period of orla. So the Chazon Ish says it's not mistaber. It doesn't make sense to say that Hashem would create a fruit that's not mutter to us ever. We said Revi had a lot of difficulty with the svara, like you see in other places. The Gemara is like talking about shkatzim or mashim, and the Gemara has a legitimate havamina that maybe they're completely usher. Right? You could say the same. You could ask the same question, right? How could Hashem have created anything that would potentially just fully be usher for us? So Revi didn't really have an answer for this question. We then moved on to the Chai Adam. So the Chai Adam is talking about an Atzitz Sheino Nakuv. Atzitz Sheino Nakuv basically just means a pot, right, like a flower pot. So if you grow wheat in this flower pot, let's say, right, so it's completely unconnected to the ground, right, so you have grain or wheat, right, you turn it into bread, what bracha do you make on that bread? So the Chai Adam quotes Yerushalmi, which says, you make a mizonos. You don't make hamotzi lechem min haaretz, because it just doesn't really make sense. The svar is, it doesn't really make sense to say hamotzi lechem min haaretz, right? If this bread was actually not from the ground, it was from this atzitz sheino nakuv. But our Gemara, Bavli, clearly says that you still make birkas hamazon on this food, right? That's not really controversial at all. You still make birkas hamazon on the food that you grew from the atzitz sheino nakuv. So we said, what exactly is the svara for this, that you're making a mizonos as a bracha rishona, and you're going to be benching, right, which is implying that it's bread for a bracha achrona. So Rebbe said that it's a shem lechem, right? The bread has a shem lechem on it, so that's why you bench. It makes a lot of sense why you'd have to bench on it. And in terms of the bracha rishona, the fact that you make a mizonos, it's kind of just a technical quirk. It wouldn't make sense to say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. It's just a false statement in this scenario, so that's why you have to make mizonos, right? But le'olam, it still has the shem lechem on it. We then, the Chai Adam also says that if you have fruits that are growing, vegetables that are growing in this atzitz sheino nakuv, you wouldn't be able to make a bori pri adama on them, because it's also not appropriate, right? It's not pri adama, but there are other achronim that argue on that Chai Adam. We then saw a big Shemitah discussion. So just for some background, so the Gemara Yerushalmi has a suffix, Right? We know that in Shvius, the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to work your fields. You're not allowed to any fruits that you grow in those fields are going to be usur. So the question is, does that only apply to sadcha, right? Your sada, or even if, let's say, you had some dirt in your house and you grew plants from that dirt inside your house, would that also be usur from because of Shemitah? So that was a question that the Yerushalmi had, and the Pasa Shulchan said that nowadays, since Shemitah is a din derabanan, we could say safik derabanan lekula. The Chazon Ish jumped on this Pasa Shulchan. He said that he thinks that's like a misapplication of safik derabanan lekula, because he said laolam, this question is a Shemitah question. It happens to be that nowadays Shemitah is a din derabanan, but beikar beetzem Shemitah is a daraisa shaila. So therefore, you can't say safik derabanan lekula. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said, he came along, he said that if you do an atzitz sheino nakuv, right, if you grow it in an atzitz sheino nakuv, then l'chol hadeos, it becomes a shayla derabanan. So then you have the fact that it's an atzitz sheino nakuv, right, which is making it a derabanan, and you have the fact that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is derabanan, so that would be enough to say safik derabanan l'kula, and therefore you could grow foods during Shemitah in these pots in your houses. And that's basically that was the heter for the greenhouses in Gush Katif, which was apparently a really big business. Also, just one more point, Rav Eliyashiv actually felt that this whole greenhouse thing was incorrect, because he said that once it becomes kederach, right, that's the normal way of planting for everyone, so then there's no longer going to be a patur. When the Yerushalmi was discussing if you plant in your house, if that'll be mutter, that was under the assumption that it's something that's not standard, that people don't normally do. So that was the reason that perhaps it would be mutter. But if nowadays that becomes the status quo, that's what everyone's doing, so then it would also be very problematic for Shemitah as well. We then just saw a little bit about hydroponics. So that's growing vegetables through water. So Rav Avadya says that on those foods you would make a shahakal. Rav Vosner and Rav Sternbach said that you could still make a hadama. The svara for them was that it's true, this tomato didn't come from the ground, but its grandfather, right, and all the DNA, right, like most tomatoes come from the ground, so it's still an appropriate statement to make. And then we just saw, finally, other achronim point out Gemara in Gittin, which might have something to say about our sugya. The Gemara in Gittin is discussing a boat that's in the water in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, right, someone now grew a plant on this boat, right? So the question is it connected to Eretz Yisrael, right? So the Chachamim seemingly say, apparently they say, that even though the Sfina is on the water is being chotzeitz between the dirt and the boat and the plant, it's still going to be considered like it's connected to the ground, according to the Chachamim, and this plant is therefore going to be chayev in Meiser and Shvius, according to the Chachamim. So some Achronim said that according to these Chachamim, that the water is not really like a hefsik between the plant and the dirt. So what do you see? You see that the water is kind of like an extension of the ground. And therefore, hydroponics, right, where it's growing from the water, you could still make a bori pri ha'adama on those foods because of this Gemara in Gittin, because of the psak of the Chachamim. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Gittin, then this wouldn't be possible. But they're saying that we paskin like the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that the water is really part of the ground, so therefore you can make a ha'adama.